I want to show you for just a second how those two men tied together, that you may not have got it. He was talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. It's where the presence of God was contained. And he read about the poles. Remember reading? Well, those poles were carried, is how you carried the Ark of the Covenant. You carried it, the priests carried it on their shoulder. And then you get up, Dale, and you talk about Peter calling us priest. Right? Isn't that what you read? That we are the priest. We are the ones that carry the presence of God into this world. Do you realize how long the church has been waiting for people to come in? And we're called to go out. Put the presence of God on your shoulders and let's go share with our neighbors. Amen. Do you have anything you'd like to just...
Say I'm thankful that for all the prayers. They definitely meant a lot to me. God has just miraculously worked on my body. I'm hardly in any pain. I can't believe I'm here today. Almost got
I can't
to
either.
But I'm so glad I did. The worship was just so good to my heart, and just glad to be back.
Amen. You know, sometimes a pastor gets compared to an old mother hen. Don't hug him today. Okay. He had open heart surgery about 10 days ago. It's a miracle that he's here. God is on his life and he's doing a great deal. But honestly, just pat him on the shoulder or something like that. But let's not embrace him. Okay. That chest is still healing. I just don't want anybody. We all love Jason. Everybody in this room loves Jason. And Jason's a hugger. So it's going to be tempting to him to hug you, but I just want us to be careful with him just for another week or so. So that we don't want to break him. That's right. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read a few verses today, verses 3 through 8. I titled this, Everyone is Blessed by God with a Gift, or with Gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. He says, For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one, a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is in us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today and we're so thankful, Lord, that we know that you are in this house. God, you said that if two or three of us are gathered together in your name, that you would be right there in the midst of them. So, Father, we know, we feel your spirit, but we know from your word that you are here today. I pray, Lord Jesus, in all sincerity, that you would minister to every heart. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, God, that you would spur us on to good works, God, that you would do great and mighty things, Lord, that the Spirit of God would just move in a sovereign way, touching every heart. I pray, Lord, for those that are sick, Lord, today, that they would be healed, Lord. Just healed, Lord, through the service, God, that your spirit would just hover over them and heal their bodies. Lord, that those that have anxious hearts, God, that they would be at peace and at rest, God. I pray that every one of us would be stirred up, Lord, with the word of God, and Lord, that we would grab hold of the mantle and we would recognize that the presence of God is in us and we need to take it to this world. So, Father, Lord, teach us today through your word. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive to the seed of the Word of God, that it would bear much fruit. Now, Lord, use my words, Father. Let them be, Lord, my words and my meditation acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we've been teaching through the book of Romans, and many, many times when I teach through a book, I will tell you, especially when I'm starting a new chapter or something, I'll tell you now, you know, the verses and the numbers there were put in by man. The Word of God is inspired by God. God wrote that book through holy men of God. The numbers were just put in there later to help you be able to find the place. But when we see a change in chapters, our mind thinks he's changing direction. The topic is changing. And most of the time I come to you and I say, that's not the case. He's written a letter here and he's continuing on in his letter. So don't divorce it from what we just read. But today I want you to know, chapter 12 started a new part of Romans. The first 11 chapters was very much written about doctrine. Chapter 12 is how do we apply the doctrine. Okay, so it really is, chapter 12, really, there really is a break. There really is a division here. Now we're going to apply the doctrine that we've already learned. So we started with verses 1 and 2 last week, and he says, I want your bodies to be a living sacrifice. I want them to be placed on the altar. And he tells us three things that our bodies, the characteristics of our bodies as children of God. Number one, our body is to be placed on the altar, but it's living. Now this is, I guess I'd call it an oxymoron. You're a living dead man. Right? You're living but dead. God does this a lot of times, right? He just confuses our minds. You are to be living, but you're to be dead. And that's what he's saying. I want you to be living, but I want your life on the altar. Always sacrificing yourself for the kingdom. The second thing is it's supposed to be holy. Your body. We're talking about your body. It matters how you live. It matters how you talk. Don't let religious people tell you it doesn't matter. It does matter. God says, be holy as I am holy. Your body is to be holy, which means separated. If you're acting like the world, you're wrong. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, or whatever you call yourself. If you're acting just like them, you're wrong. Change. You're to be holy, separated from this world. Number three, he says that's acceptable. That's acceptable. That's your reasonable service for God, is to live this kind of life. And then he goes on, he starts talking about your mind. And he said, I want your mind not to be conformed. I don't think I said this last week, but that word conformed in the Greek is schizomatzo or something like that. There it is. And it's where we get our word, I can't even say it now, schematics. Schematics is a drawing, right? It's a blueprint of something. That's the word right there. Do you realize the world has a schematic for your life? Do you know that? The world has a drawing and they're trying to make you fit into this box on how you think. And the Bible says, no, don't live that way. Don't be conformed to the way the world tells you to think. Amen. I got something new for you. He says, I want you to be transformed. I want you to be changed. That's metamorpho. Like the cocoon goes into the butterfly. Every one of us, children of God, listen to me. We are in the process of being changed right now. Through the renewing of our mind. Through the washing of the word. What Ephesians 5 says. Today, see, the Word of God is nothing more than seed. See, today, if I had a bag of seed on my side and I was just going like this, It would be a good illustration of preaching. Because that's what I do when I preach. I just throw seed out there. But when that seed lands in your heart, it starts putting roots out. Now that's why the Bible talks about, I think it's in Mark 4, that there's different types of heart, different types of soil that's going to receive that seed, right? Now today, you may get nothing out of this sermon. And it's not because of me. It's because of thee. Your heart's not prepared. But if your heart is right with God, God wants to take the seed of the Word of God, plant it in your heart, and metamorpho you. He wants to change you. We are constantly being changed into the image of Christ. Say, boy, I don't look much like Jesus right now. We'll give it some time. Say, but I've been saved 50 years. Then repent. You need to get with the program. We get there through saturation of the Word. And so today I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts. And I think it's neat because Paul says, I come to you because of the grace that is upon me. See, God has graced Paul to be an apostle. He says he was one born out of time. He wasn't one of the 12. He was an apostle, though, that was to bring the gospel to us. He said, it's because of this grace that's upon me that I'm bringing this message to you. Now, what is grace? Let's cover that real quick. Grace is the favor of God. We all know that, right? You know what we don't know is the second definition. It's the empowerment of God. Where's my coffee bar, people? Would you go get everybody a cup of coffee? Just put an extra little shot in that thing. We need to wake up. Grace empowers you. So I want you to realize today that God has graced you with certain things in your life, and it's going to take His power to bring it out of you. Okay? That's the sermon in a nutshell right there. So we're talking exactly about the same thing in Sunday school. So the pastor that was on the video, he says, I want you to think about the animal kingdom for just a second. This was such a great analogy. He said, think about a dolphin. What's a dolphin gifted to do? Swim, right? The greatest swimmers in the world. Have you ever seen them? They're just jumping and diving and swimming. How about a monkey? They swing, right? Don't they have the innate ability to swing from like nothing else? A rabbit? It jumps. An eagle? Soars. Why doesn't monkeys soar? They're not gifted to. You get that? You realize that God created the animal kingdom and each one of them have their own unique ability. Do you realize God created the body of Christ and each one of us have got a unique ability to do something that the others cannot do? Isn't that great? Now, I want to give you three words, if I could remember them. They are discover, develop, deploy. Come on, you're not going to remember them any longer than I did. Write them down. Write it down somewhere. Get your phone out. Put it in your notes, whatever. Discover. Maybe you already know what your gifts are. But if not, you need to. Then you need to develop them. And then we want you to deploy them. Do you realize there was a time in Timothy's life? You guys remember Timothy? Preacher Timothy, right? Pastor Timothy? Do you know Paul wrote him a pretty straightforward letter? And he said, son, stir up the gift that's in you. You know, I'm talking to people today that you have let your gift die. And you know what I'm here to do today? I'm going to blow on the coals. No, not me. I'm sorry. The Spirit of God is going to blow on your coals. And He's going to try to reignite the giftings You know, so many of us, America is in a place where we are searching for joy. Right? Do you see that? There's so much anxiety, so much stress in today's, and we're like, where is the joy at? You know where the joy is at? It's in doing what God has called you to do. Whatever He has gifted you in, do that. So the very first thing Paul starts off, and he says, don't think too highly of yourself. You ever met anybody like that? Well, I'm the greatest. Woo-wee, they just don't get any better than me. He's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. But let me tell you what I find more often. I find that we take it just the exact opposite. We are too harsh on ourselves. You know, if I ask you about your weaknesses, you'll spit them out. Well, here, I'm not getting good at these things. And then I'll turn that question around and say, what is your strengths? And we have been trained by this world and by the church to not identify our strengths. Why? Because we're afraid we're going to be prideful. Look, can I just say this? It's not prideful to say I'm good at. That's not prideful. Now, you can boast, you can move into pride, and you can boast about how wonderful you are, and that'll make us all sick, and we'll say, go somewhere else. But we're comfortable about talking about our weakness. We're not comfortable about talking about our strengths. So Paul starts off and he says, I want you to think soberly is what he says. Don't be prideful on this. Be humble. And the Bible tells us a couple of verses, where is that? In James chapter 4 verse 6, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then in verse 10, he says that he will lift the humble up, right? What is humility? Humility is a modest self-perception of yourself. I like to think this. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. You're thinking about others more than you think about you. Now, you're living in a world that tells you it's all about you, baby. If you don't promote yourself, nobody's going to promote you. That's pride. He tells us, just think soberly about yourself. In other words, be honest. When you look at yourself, be honest. Are you good at something? That's okay to say that. You know what? God has gifted me in this area. That's okay. That's not pride. Does that make sense? I think when you get into pride, the Holy Spirit will prick your heart. He'll let you know, oh, you've gone too far. So the correct thinking then is to see myself the way God sees me. We don't do that very often. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. Can I tell you what we see ourselves? We see ourselves the way the world tells us. Do you realize what he started with? Don't be conformed to that. Don't get your identity from what the world tells you. Let the Lord change you and bring out your strengths, right? And bring something out that he has placed. If you're an eagle baby, soar. But if you're a monkey in the kingdom, then swing. Because that's what God has told you. That's the way God created you. And he says this, and I want you to get this. He says, God has dealt to each one, and my Bible says A, but the original King James says the. You may not think that matters. It does matter. God has dealt to you the measure of faith. You see, if it's A, then say I've got a buffet up here and I'm going to serve you. And I got a utensil. And I've got a utensil that I'll use for Sheila, but I got another utensil that I'll use for Kathy and another utensil that I'll use for Treva. I'm going to cheat somebody. Because all the utensils may be different. I may give her 4 ounces. I may give you 2 ounces. Right? So that doesn't mean nothing to some of you. You go through that serving line today, it'll mean something to you. He doesn't say A, he says the. God has dealt to us the measure of faith. Every one of us starts at the same level. God has given us the measure of faith. You know what I believe that is? I believe that's the measure of faith it takes to believe that there really is a God. and that He really loves you, and He died for your sins, and now He has something for you to do. You don't have to go looking for that faith. It's already in your heart. God has given to every man, woman, and child the measure of faith. Now my question is, what are you going to do with it? You know, when Jesus was walking on the land, He met one man and He said, "Such great faith I've not seen in all of Israel." And then sometimes when He was dealing with His disciples, He'd say, "Oh, ye of little faith." You see, each one of us has been dealt the measure of faith, but I hope you have a little bit more than the measure at this time. Have you grown it? Say, how do you grow your faith? Faith comes from the hearing and hearing the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God, the more you put the Word of God in, the more you study on His presence and His goodness, His benevolence, faith grows. It's like the giant oak tree, right? It's got its roots down in the Word of God, and man, now it's powerful. Why? Because the measure of faith has now become great faith. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you guys are shouting, I'm going to tell you. He then goes on and he starts comparing it to the body, to the physical body. And he says, we're all a little different. In your body, lots of different organs. Brother Jason just had his heart worked on. That's one organ in his body. But when that organ shuts down, life as you know it is over. Right? And so the doctors went in and repaired that one organ. Fixed that one organ. Thank God for that process that fixed that. But you also have ears. You also have eyes, a nose, kidneys, even a colon. Thank God for your colon. Now, how many of you have been praying and said, "Thank you, Lord, for a colon"? Yeah, I didn't think so. Paul goes on in Ephesians and he says in verse 4:16, he says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which the part, what every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself." We have been trained in the body of Christ to think wrong. You see? Let me see, how can I say this? Today, to have this service, I counted it up. About 75 people has made this service possible. Did you realize that? One is paid. Well, maybe two. Two is paid. Everybody else is volunteer. We have men that mow the church property and mows the ditch. We have people that just pick up the trash in the parking lot, get out the weeds of the garden. We have people that when you walked in greeted you at the front door. Those are important people. We have people that served you coffee. We have people that cleaned our house, cleaned our restroom. We have another person that just makes sure that there's toilet paper in the... Aren't you thankful? Brother Dave Allen, thank you for doing that. Say, that's sort of not a very meaningful job. Yeah, you wait till you get on the toilet and there's no paper there. Then you tell me how important that job is, right?
That's right. That's right.
Do you realize we have Sunday school teachers and we have people right now teaching our nursery. So that the church is quiet so you can absorb. So a mama that's been dealing with her babies all week long, she gets a moment to rest. What a gift. Amen. 75 people. We have people that have met in the house last night to pray that the Spirit of God was here. You have people right now praying for me. And those that know me are probably praying a little harder. Those that know me well, not only pray, but get red sometimes. But let me tell you something. But I am the most important. Did that make a little throw up come in your throat? Just a bit of nausea right there. You know what? Listen to me closely. I would never say that. You do. I don't say that. You do. By your actions. I am no more important than the person cleaning the toilets, the people mowing the churchyard. Every gift supplies, and that's where growth comes from. You think Jason's heart is more important than his kidneys? No, because when those kidneys shut down, doesn't matter if the heart's going. You think it's more important than his brain? Well, maybe. You see what I'm saying? We have been taught to elevate this and to downgrade this. It's not right, guys. Read the Bible. Here's what I'm saying. You're important. You're important to the flow of God. Not only in the house, but out of the house. See, we want to think about the gifts just moving in the house. The gifts are to be stirred up and taken out. As we were talking about this in Sunday school, I started asking them to identify people. And those young people started identifying you. What gifts is moving in them? I'd ask them. I asked him about Brother Dave. I said, what gift moves in Brother Dave? And one of them said, hospitality. He always makes us feel comfortable. He makes us feel loved. I said, what does Brother Roy have? They said, wisdom. He moves in wisdom. Now, is that gift more important than hospitality? No. It's the eagle that soars and the monkey that swings. I'm not telling you which one's which. Are you getting it though? See, if they operate in their gift, we are all encouraged. But their gift is not just for the house. Their gift is to go out into the community to show the love of God. Right? We're all different. So, here's couple of things that I have noticed. Number one, gift envy. See, the Bible says don't look at others and compare yourself to them. There's another part to that. Do you know what it is? Lest you become a fool. See, it's foolish. If I look at Larry and say, well, how am I doing? No, that's foolish. Why? Because he's gifted different than I am. I'm soaring, brother. Gift envy. It's easy to see people that have developed their gifts and sometimes get jealous of them. Right? You're equally important. Discover. Develop. Deploy. Discover your gift. Start developing it. Say, how do you do that, Eric? If the Holy Spirit gives it to you, then the Holy Spirit develops it in you. Amen. Right? It's not about you. It's about Him. Now, will He ask you to read a book or to do something? Maybe so. Maybe the Lord will show you a book and says, you need to read this. It's got some words of life in it for you. Right? He may not tell you that, but you may just see a book and think, wow, that looks like a really good book. Do you know that might be the Holy Spirit? You know what people do? They read it and then they bring it to me. Pastor, I think you need this. Pastor obviously needs a lot. Recognize that God has created you to be one way, different than everybody else, but special, and we need your gift. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:16 that as every member supplies, we all grow. There are no insignificant Christians. You have not been set on a pew to twiddle your thumbs. Now, your gifting may not apply to the house. Can I tell you, this is one of the quietest guys and most humble guys you'll ever meet. But this guy has a unique ability to fix things. And you don't know it, but he goes to some of the widows of the house and works on their lawn and mine. I'm not a widow, but he fixes it. But he fixes people's lawnmowers and sharpens their blade and changes the oil. That's a gift I don't have. But I'm sure thankful he's got it. Amen. And he's willing to share it.
Amen.
My wife is different than I am. I can't play the piano. My brother was here a few weeks ago, and he told me, he said, Eric, he said, I never heard Treva lead worship. He said she could lead worship in a church of 1,000. She's that anointed for that. That is not... Now, she started taking piano lessons at 6 years old. So she developed the gift. You get it? But she has a unique ability to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost like rarely will you see. I know one or two other people that I've seen that same thing happen in them. When she... See, I listen to him practice. I know which songs she has picked out. And you don't know. You don't know when she throws one in on you. And the guy back there knows. Because he's like, what's the name of that song? Where is it? People moving in their gifts. Now, don't look at Treva. Don't look at Jason. Don't look at that music team and say, I want to be like them. No. Maybe that's not your calling. Maybe that's not your gifting. But God has gifted you. He leaves no one out. Okay? We are unified yet diversified. That's big. We are walking in unity and yet we're diverse. How many of you grew up in a church where we tried to make everybody look the same? You got to wear your hair like this. You can't... They wouldn't let me wear a dress when I was a kid. I'm telling you. No. For a long time, the body of Christ just tried to put these things on people rather than accepting our diversity. It's in our diversity that we're strong, right? So here's what unifies us. That brings the unity. The Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful for that. I want us to talk just a second about the gifts that he lists here. Now, there are gifts right here in Romans chapter 12. You can also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you can go to Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll see the offices of the church, and you'll see different gifts, and you'll see gifts in each one of them. What I'm saying is, this is not an exhaustive list. Right? There are many, many gifts that are operating in the body of Christ. He gives you 7 right here as an example. But that doesn't mean, so if you can't find yourself in that 7, that's okay. Because there's many other things that God has gifted the body of Christ. I had a lady tell me one time that she loved to feed people. Isn't that interesting? How many of you ladies are so sick of cooking that if you never saw another stove, you'd be happy? You know, there are people that are gifted just to cook and to serve. And that's where their joy, they love to cook for people. Folks, that's not in this chapter, but it's a gift to God. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, Treva and I Years ago, I knew a lady at the Senior Citizen Center who just became family to me. Name was Jean Davidson. Oh my goodness, I love this woman. I mean, love, love, love. She's like a grandma to me. Well, she called me last week and she said, Eric, I really thought she was dead. I thought just nobody had called me. And she said, guess what? And I said, what? And she said, I'm living here in Paris. And she lives less than a half a mile from me. And she said, would you come and see me? I said, yes, I'll come and see you. Are you kidding me? I love this lady. And just going over, Treven and I went over and spent about an hour with her yesterday. And have you ever met somebody that's, when you're with them, it's just like being in the presence of God? That's what it's like for this lady. I mean, she don't want to talk about nothing but Jesus. And she's 88 years old. Mind is sharp as a tack. Body, not so much, but she's still getting around by herself and doing pretty good. But you know what she told me? She said, you know what? She said, as soon as the house gets quiet, she lives with somebody. She said, as soon as the house gets quiet, I start calling people. You know what she said? I call old people. I'm like, is there anybody older than you? She giggled at it too. She said, I call old people. You know why? Just to encourage them. She said, she's read her Bible 3 times through this year. She said, I've got the time now. Are you getting what I'm saying? How many people that you know at 88 years old would go to the recliner? But not her. As long as she draws breath, she's going to use that breath for the kingdom. That's what I want for you. If you can fog a mirror, do something for God. Right? So he talks about prophecy. That's speaking on behalf of God. Just a simple thing. Most of us think prophecy is telling the future. It's not always. Sometimes it's just speaking on behalf of God. 1 Corinthians 14:4 gives something very, very straightforward. He says, everyone who prophesies speak to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and comfort. They're not there to scold you. They're there to encourage you. Ministry. Ministry is servants. Service. That's the other name. In other words, Pat and Tommy, when they're serving you coffee, they're ministering to you. When the usher helps you find the seat, he's ministering to you. Those that clean the church, they're ministering to you. They're ministers. Our teachers. I like this. This helps me. Preachers proclaim, teachers explain. Does that help you? Four words. Isn't that good? Teachers proclaim. I'm a preacher, guys. I had a little girl say, last week. She said, why are you screaming at everybody? That always bothers me when people say that. You know, the best answer I can tell you, I never preach out of a mad spirit or being angry or anything, but I really identify with Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, there's a fire shut up in my bones. And that fire comes alive when I start preaching the gospel. I don't do this for effect. I don't do it to try to wake you up, although it might be helpful. I do it because it just, I have a passion when it comes to preaching the word. If you know me at all, you know I love the Word of God. I see the value of it. But a teacher will very systematically teach you. Now, I think every preacher operates in the gift of teaching also. You have to. Then there's exhorting. It's people that know that God has blessed them just to encourage the body of Christ. You know, last Tuesday night as we were speaking to the men, that come in, I asked them what their strengths was, and some of them were just downcast. I don't know why, but some of them were just downcast last Tuesday night, and they're just sitting there, and I don't know what my gifts are. And one guy spoke up and he said, I know what your gift is. He said, your gift is this. He said, you're amazing at this. He said, you write things on our calendar and it just makes me feel so good. Do you know that boy that was so downcast all of a sudden began to smile? It's just like he just brightened up. You know what just happened? It was an exhorter. An exhorter encouraged him in the Lord by identifying his gift. You know, it's hard. You know, sometimes it's really difficult for us to see the gifts that is moving in us. But sometimes we can see them in others. Right? You know, I hope at the end of this service, I hope some of you go to each other and say, you know, I see this in you. Because it's encouraging. It's good for people to know. Then he says, giving. Now, aren't all of us called to give? Ooh-wee! I just had fear hit my heart. It's so strong. Come on. Where's the paddles? Aren't all of us called to give? Jeez. Aren't all of us called to give? Come on, it's got to get better. Aren't all of us called to give? Yes, Pastor, yes. Giving the offering? Yes. Give to your neighbor? Yes. Give to someone in need? Yes. We're all called to be givers. The Bible says when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Hey, I think that's a pretty good investment. But there are those in the body of Christ that find great joy in giving. And they give what the Bible says hilariously. Amen. Hilariously. You know, the whole book of Philippians is about a church that was in extreme poverty that gave. It's called the Book of Joy. So if you're going to give, give cheerfully. My father-in-law used to always say that we're supposed to give cheerfully, but got to take it from a grump. And so we'll bridge a hope. And then the other one is leading. It's a governance. And then there's mercy. My mother was a mercy person. And it says that mercy people will attract people in need. They'll start clinging to them because they're extremely compassionate. Thank God for mercy people. They see a need and they try to fill it. So I want to bring something just a little bit different to you. I'm going to throw a twist at the end of this, okay? I'm telling you today, get on the team. Develop your gift. Let's get to work. Do you know the body of Christ is not Bridge of Hope? The body of Christ is the ecclesia. They're Church of Christ. They're Presbyterians. They're Baptists. They're Lutherans. They're Assembly of God. Thank the Lord we made the list. But that's the body of Christ. We need to quit fighting each other. We need to start embracing each other. There are no superior attitudes. Pentecostal people, for years that was us. Because we had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and others didn't, we felt like we were just a little bit better than everybody else. Shame on us. You know what happened in the 70s? The Catholics got the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues. We didn't even think they were saved. I think that's so wonderful. God says, I'll show you something, boys. The Holy Ghost is not about a denomination. It's a free gift to everyone. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says this, it's required in stewards that someone that's been put in charge of a household, you are a steward, it's required in stewards to be found faithful. Now that's a verse that every Christian ought to know because the Bible says it's required. That's sort of important. He didn't say it'd be nice if. He said this is required. If you're a steward for the house of God, and you are, then it's required that you be faithful with your gift. So what is faithful? We could all define this, right? It means dependable, steadfast, reliable, loyal, trustworthy. But Jesus adds a new dimension to the word faithful. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 29, it's the parable of the talents. We're not going to read it because I'm running out of time. But three people were called and the master was getting ready to go away. How many people know that our master has gone away? Gone away to prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. The master is gone, but he's given talents to everyone. Now a talent back in those days was about 75 pounds. One talent was 75 pounds of silver. So a talent was not a little something. God has given to every person gifts. And he says to one person, I gave 5 pounds. To another person, I gave 2. To another, I gave 1. Now, I find that this passage is a bit difficult to understand. But to help to understand, I'm going to say Larry Woodard was given 5 talents. Dave Allen was given 2. Denny was given 1. You know, Denny said something at the end of service. He said, isn't it funny how when the pastor didn't preach, we had the biggest offering in the... Payback, brother. But think about it. I do want you to put these guys' names in there. Larry takes his 5 talents and he goes and invests them for the kingdom. And one day the master comes back. And one day our master is coming back. And he is going to ask you, what have you done with what I put into you? See, he's not going to look to the monkey and ask him, how did you soar? He's going to look to the eagle and said, how'd you soar? He's going to look to the monkey and said, did you swing well? I'm a swinging, just a swinging. God help me that I know that song. And Larry comes up to the master and says, Master, I invested your talent. I invested the 5 talents you gave me and I now have 10. Well done, thou good and faithful. What was he faithful in? He multiplied his talent. There's not a Christian that I know that would tell you faithful means multiplier. But to God it does. He looks at Dave. He said, Dave, didn't I give you 2? And Dave said, yeah. What did you do, Dave? Dave said, well, I went out and invested it and I have 4 now. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, Denny, didn't I give you 1? And Denny says, yes, sir. What have you done with it? Well, Master, I knew that you were a harsh master. So I buried this talent so I could bring it back to you. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You know, if you don't know your master, that's what you'll do. I'm going to use you again, Denny. Denny called him harsh. God's not harsh. God's loving. God's benevolent. God is good. But there's many in the body of Christ that think God is harsh. And if you think God is harsh, you'll be scared of him. Now, we are to walk in the fear of the Lord, but we're not to be scared of our master. Then he didn't multiply his talent. And God said, you're a wicked and lazy servant. Is this getting just a little bit more serious in the house? It matters what you do with your gift. Now, guys, I use Denny because I know he'd be all right with it. I actually even talked to him about it Wednesday. Told him I was going to get him. All of you know Denny. All of you know that he is faithful. Denny is the one guy that when I leave the service, when I leave town or something, he always tells me, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. If you want me to open up the service, I'm serious. Denny is precious about that. So I just grabbed his name. But God has uniquely gifted you with a gift, and He wants you to multiply it. You have the measure of faith. Grow it so that you can use your gift. Now let me just stay with me, but it's one more second. Because Paul told Timothy a couple of things in 1 Timothy 4:14. You don't have this, brother. He says, don't neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. And then in 2 Timothy, he told him, he said, stir up that gift. I believe, would you stand with me? I believe that there are people right here that you need to stir up your gift. You need to stop thinking that you're insignificant in the body of Christ. And you need to realize, I'm different than everybody else. And that's good. God has gifted you to do something that I can't do, that probably nobody else can do, but you have been gifted by God, and grace will empower you to do it. Now, can we just be bold for a moment? How many of you with an uplifted hand says, Pastor, I need to stir up my gift? Okay. How many of you put your hands down? How many of you would say, Pastor, I don't even know what I am gifted in? I thought it'd be probably about an equal amount. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit begins to talk to everyone. And the fire gets rekindled today in your heart. I don't know how else to say it. I feel like I keep saying the same thing. You see, people look at a church that's stalled and they say, that pastor needs to get to work. It ain't the pastor. That church needs to get to work. Right? That's what it's about. My job is to equip you for works of ministry. That's what Ephesians 4, I think it's verse 11, 12, 13, somewhere through there. That's what that says. I equip you so you can go to work. And you need the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Spirit so that you're not just operating in the flesh. You see, I've had people give me words of wisdom that there was no spirit to it. And I've had people say something to me that there was spirit in it, and it always brings life. It always encourages you. I encourage. The Bible says that whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You might be packing groceries at the grocery store. Well, do it as unto the Lord. I'm packing your groceries. And I'm saying, hey, you know Jesus loves you. I hope you have a wonderful day. My words are seasoned with salt. Are you getting it? God's gifted every one of us. Some of you need to discover. Some of you need to stir it up. But all of us need to use them. Father God, I pray right now for every person under the sound of my voice. God, you saw the honesty of their hands being raised. Lord, I believe this hit every one of us, including myself. God, I'm so thankful that your word is designed to pinpoint our hearts, God. And I believe by the Spirit of God that every one of us have been pricked a little bit by your Spirit. And God, so some of us are saying, help me discover what you've given me. I'm not even for sure why I'm here on this earth. And others have said, I know what my gift is. I just let it go to sleep. God, I pray by the moving of the Holy Spirit right now, that you would stir us up, that you would speak to each one of us the grace of God I pray would just be flowing like water in this place right now, making a reality what you've called us to do. And God, help us, Lord, to take it into this, to the marketplace. God, I pray that May 14th would be the biggest day of the history of this church. That as we go into the streets, we may feel very uncomfortable about what we're doing, but Lord, I know you'll be with us. And you'll speak to us and with us and through us. God, I pray, Lord, for every person that works in this house, that they would use their gifts in the marketplace. They would speak for you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, one day, I believe very soon, the Master is coming back. And there's going to be a day of accounting. And God, I pray that these people under the sound of my voice will hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful servants. God, I pray, Lord, that there are no wicked, lazy servants in this house. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Let us apply this word and let us get busy and do the work of the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Instead of Denny coming up and ending the service, I'm going to ask, no. It's a stupid guy that picks on the guy that gets the microphone last, isn't it? Amen. Denny, come and dismiss us.
See, everybody's waiting to see what I'm going to say, right? That's okay. No, it's I consider it an honor to be able to give Treva a break from being the one made fun of in service, so that's okay. No, but please don't get offended for me, because none of that bothered me. So I've been married 23 years and raised two teenage daughters, so that's not the first time I was called wicked or lazy. So don't worry about that. So today's the May 1st, the first of the month, so we have a new bulletin out in the back. If you didn't get one on your way in, grab one on your way out, because it has the calendar and all that stuff on it. So don't forget, and like you said, May 14th is it's a big day for us, so keep that in mind. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.